Hello, everybody. This is going to be the second part of my conversation with Damien, which was done over our kitchen table. This kitchen table, by the way, I grew up on this kitchen table. I learned how to paint on this kitchen table. My grandma taught me how to paint with oils on this kitchen table. I've had this, I think my parents got this table when I was 2. So this has been, and then when I got to college, they gave it to me. And so I love this kitchen table. Anyway, just to set the scene for you. Anyway, listen to part one if you haven't already. And thank you for letting me do something out of the ordinary. For anybody new to this podcast, or if you've tuned in because you like Damien's music, I never do interviews. I never do conversations. It's always just me talking. But except for a few times when I've done my dad, I've definitely interviewed and talked to my dad in a fun way, and my brother once. And I never thought I would do anything like this, but Damien was interested. He always wanted to. He does a great impression. He didn't do it on the podcast, but I told him to do it, and he wouldn't do it. But he does a great impression of me talking. And so I thought, why not? Again, we're pulling out anything we can do at this point to get through and be sane. So I might come back in with a poem at the end of this time, but enjoy it. I have no idea what we talked about. I recorded this a while back, and now I have no recollection. I remember talking about food a lot. I remember I didn't have any prepared questions for him. We just talked. So I hope it's not too boring. I noticed I got a bad review on iTunes right after this other episode, so somebody hated it. I'm telling you, people just don't like this podcast anymore. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's wrong, but I apologize if you hate this whole podcast. I'm doing my best. I'm just trying to talk and share things and get excited about things in the midst of the world ending. Anyway, hope you guys are doing well. Here's the rest of my talk with Damien Jurado. Okay, speaking of questions, what is your least favorite thing about yourself?
Let's see. My least favorite thing about myself.
Yeah. I know mine.
I hate that my weight fluctuates a lot.
Oh, whoa, really? Yeah. I did not expect that.
Yeah. I hate that, I hate my broad shoulders sometimes because shirts start fitting me weird. The clothing industry, by the way, it needs to be talked about.
We have talked about it many times.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's very messed up. I thought you liked your broad shoulders, but you don't if your weight is fluctuating. Is that what you're saying?
No, I hate it because...
Oh, you don't fit in anything.
I don't fit in anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, my weight fluctuates constantly. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I don't care about myself. Mm. That bugs me about me.
Mine for me is I do not like that I worry so much. I think it's just so... annoying of myself. Like, I annoy myself. It's almost like my heart pumping. Like, I can't really help it. It feels like sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this again? You know what I hate even worse about myself? This is funny to say, is I hate my low self-esteem.
Okay.
That's the worst thing. It's a horrible thing to live with.
Yeah.
And to anybody out there, make sure your kids feel good about themselves. My parents did their best. I think I was, and you do great with your kids.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but my parents did great with me too, but I was just impossible. Yeah. I just think the worst of myself all the time, and it's horrible. Don't you think I do? Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
I think you're working on it. I think, look, everybody's a work in progress is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
No one's perfect. We're always a work in progress.
Yeah.
You got to have a lot of grace for yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of, be easy with yourself,
I agree.
So.
Okay, how about, what is your least favorite thing about me?
That you worry too much.
Oh, that is yours.
Yeah, that's
too?
Yeah. I told you that before.
It's not that I take too many naps.
No,
it's not that I watch the Real Housewives.
I'm always encouraging you to do those things.
You do. Okay, I've been watching a lot of Real Housewives on Bravo. Tell me who your favorites are and who you hate.
I don't hate anybody.
Anyone in the whole world or anyone on the Real Housewives?
On the Real Housewives.
Okay.
I think that there are some annoying people on the Real Housewives. I don't hate them. It's hard for me to hate anybody who I don't know.
Yeah.
That's
a nice quality.
Is it?
I don't have that quality.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, as far as Real Housewives, well, I'm telling my favorites.
Okay.
Luann.
Oh, yeah.
From New York.
Yes, the Countess.
Yep. And then, what's the other one? Leanne?
Leanne? Oh, Leanne from Dallas.
Leanne from Dallas.
They're so, just hands.
Yeah. They're just hands.
She's talking about using her hands. I don't even know what she's doing.
Yeah. Type in, if for those who are listening, type in, what's her last name?
Leanne Locken.
Leanne
Dallas Housewives.
Dallas Housewives hands.
Yeah, you'll see. It's one of the greatest TV clips of all time.
It's absolutely insanity. So I like Luann from New York. I like Leanne from Dallas. I also like, is it Giselle?
Giselle.
From
Potomac. Oh, yeah. These are the mega divas, by the way. Yeah, these are the divas of all divas.
And then from Orange County,
somebody that no one ever talks about. Emily.
Emily.
Why do you like Emily so much?
I don't know. She's just cool. And her husband's annoying.
That's hilarious.
And, all the crap that she's gone through with, like, being... body shamed on Instagram.
Being made fun of for that. She's gorgeous. We both agree with that.
She's very beautiful.
Has a beautiful body. Yeah, that's really horrible. Those women go through a lot. They were just talking about it on the Potomac, where after their first season, like, these women were not well known for anything. And then they're all of a sudden on in the national or international spotlight. Yeah. And that one girl, the older woman, Karen, she has a beauty mark, right? And apparently everybody was like, you're disgusting. Take that mole off your face. What is that lump on your face?
Well, this is one of the reasons why, I'm going to have to get into it, but I hate social media. I hate it with a passion.
Oh, yeah. You really do hate it. You're off of all, go ahead and tell your listeners. I am off of all social media. And what has been the greatest thing about that for you?
Well, first of all, I'll say this, if I may interject, since this is a literary program.
Yes.
And I will talk about two books that got me into this, that encouraged me to be where I'm at. Okay. One was, Jaron Lanier's book, The 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I believe is what it's called. And then what was her name?
You want me to look it up?
About conversation.
Hold on. Let me look it up. Reclaiming
conversation.
Conversation. Let's look up. I've mentioned this book. A lot of people bought it. Sherry Turkle.
Yeah, Sherry Turkle, Reclaiming Conversation. So it was the Sherry Turkle book, Reclaiming Conversation, and Jaron Lanier's book about social media. That really just, I mean, I was a believer, you know.
Yeah.
And so I did it. I will say this. I obviously, as you know, but maybe many of my listeners don't know. You know, I'm an addict. So not I'm, you know, so like we talk about Al-Anon, I'm an Al-Anon, but I'm also an alcoholic, right? So I'm addicted to everything, you know, and I have to be careful about everything, you know. So social media for me, I've always said it's like, you know, it is like drugs, you know. And you know, I've tried fasting. I've tried deleting Safari from my smartphone. I got a dumb phone, you know, which I still have, you know. But it's a struggle for me, you know. So anyways, but...
Yeah, because you're all or nothing. Like, you...
I'm a very, very extreme person.
Very. I mean, I am too, but you are next level.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing something, you are obsessed with it. So if you do have Twitter... You're on Twitter all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
So it's been really good for you. And that's been helpful to you to focus on things that you love way more. Because those things, they don't even make you happy. You hated them when you were on.
That's the thing. That's why I compare it to smoking, right? Mm-hmm. It's like by the time I quit smoking, which was in January of 2013, it was actually, it wasn't a New Year's solution. It was, I don't remember. Because I've been trying to quit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, I was successful in the last time quitting. But that time, I was a 2-pack-a-day smoker.
Well,
you know.
Were you coughing up blood?
No, but I had like, you know, I had like pneumonia three times.
Whoa.
There was one incident where I almost burned down the house I was living in. Still not enough. I had like a, had this weird like what I thought was maybe mouth cancer.
Whoa.
Scare.
What did that end up being?
I still end up kind of, I saw the doctor. It was a, it was like a cyst on my tongue. It was not cancerous at all.
Good.
But yeah, and that wasn't enough. You think that'd be enough? Like, okay, a cancer scare, yeah. Almost burned down your house, or you have, you're coughing up brown stuff. Like, this is enough, you know? But that's what addiction is, you know? But I hated it. I remember smoking, but I hated smoking, mm-hmm. right? I hated going outside, blah, blah. So, but I found that, like, oh, okay, once I quit smoking, well, then I'm just going to up my caffeine intake. And that was crazy. You know, hello, kidney stone, you know.
Oh, yeah, you have
one
that.
And two and three and four. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden that, you know, that quit caffeine, pull on my caffeine, I'm doing the smartphone thing, and it's just insane.
You don't have any addiction right now, it seems like, do you?
What do I have? Well, first of all, I would say, like, you know, I've heard it said that there is no such thing as a healthy addiction.
Yeah.
It's still addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which I believe is true.
Let's ask the listeners. Do you guys agree?
Yeah. And that's fine if they don't.
Yeah.
If they don't agree with me, that's fine.
Frankie.
But I really believe that. I believe there is no such thing as a healthy addiction. For me, like, I love, like, you know, I went from, you know, alcohol and drugs and nicotine to smartphone to, you know, to cereal. You know, or like sugar. Or,
yeah,
you know,
and yeah.
Maybe your listeners may be going, okay, well, no wonder your weight fluctuates, you know. That might be it, you know.
No.
That might be it. but, yeah, it's always something with me, which drives me crazy. So.
Well, I currently don't see you addicted to anything. I think when you do have to have your phone, like, on full everything mode, your iPhone, like when you're on tour, you immediately become addicted to it.
Yeah, it's because it becomes that, like, that security blanket.
Yeah, and it's easy. That's what everybody, I think most people are addicted to their phone.
Yeah.
Especially like, now. I wonder how people are doing now. I mean, if they're addicted to their phone,
yeah,
they're probably on it.
Well, it's like I said the other day. I said, I think if I didn't know you and I had to go through this quarantine by myself, I'd probably start smoking again.
Oh, yeah. I know, and I keep thinking of
I wouldn't
people.
Want to. But no. I'm just saying, I'm being honest with you. I know myself.
Yeah.
Well enough to say, yeah. I'd probably go get a pack of Marlboro Reds, you know, immediately.
I've heard of a lot of people, I don't know about that, but talking about how they didn't drink and now they drink a lot. I mean, I think alcoholism is probably going to go up really high. I think people who do already drink even more now.
Yeah, well, they were saying that the numbers...
That's Frankie, everybody. Hi, Frankie. Hi.
They were saying that the numbers of have gone up in suicide hotlines from 1,000 to like 25,000 in a day.
Oh my God!
You know, the rate of, you know, alcohol,
domestic abuse,
and unfortunately, I mean, fortunately, we have the means of technology where people can attend, like, you know, an AA meeting online.
Yeah.
It's just not the same, though.
No, it's really not.
I believe that.
This human to human, I mean, I haven't said this to on the podcast yet, but I'm going to say it right now to you and to the podcast. Everybody knows this about me if they know me. I cannot stand being around people. I always want to be alone or with just you and Frankie. I mean, I and my parents. I don't like parties. I don't like social get-togethers. I hate it. I just want to be left alone half the time or 99% of the time. I am craving human interaction right now. Like, I've never craved it in my entire life. So I really feel for people who are true extroverts who need people and thrive on human interaction. Well,
especially loving all this time with someone who's from outer space, like myself.
You really are.
And you need someone. Yeah. You need somebody who's actually an actual human to be.
It's hard,
to interact
right?
With, yeah.
I am interacting with you. Do you want to tell everybody what planet you're from?
No.
It is true, though.
Yeah.
All right. No, I mean, obviously I have you, but no, I'm like fantasizing about having a party. I mean, I've never wanted to have a party in my life or going to parties. Every time I see anybody on TV gathering with one another, hugging each other, touching each other's arms, I get this huge thrill out of it. And I get so sad. I really, but back to your point about AA meetings and everything else. I mean, it is just not the same.
Yeah.
And I know so many people say how important therapy is, even if you're doing it online, and that's true.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of stuff with Randy Spelling through the phone and everything else for self-help, and it is great, but I know it would be even greater if I were face-to-face. So I think people need one another. That's so obvious. Mm-hmm. So this is devastating. I'm very lucky I have you. Tell our listeners what we're going to be doing after this.
We're going to be playing the game of Sorry.
Sorry. Most aggravating, hilarious game. Yeah, who's it? Go ahead and give me a commercial.
This is Sorry. Yeah, this is Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. This game, Sorry, is for ages 6 plus. It's 2 to 4 players. So.
Do this QVC style, please.
So what we have here, we have the game of the classic Sorry. Sorry is made by Hasbro Gaming.
Only the most famous company in gaming, would
you
say?
That's right. Yes. Now, you may say to yourself, how many people do I have to play with? Well, guess what? The good news. 2 to 4 players. That's it. 2 to 4 players. And age, is it kid-friendly? Yes, it is. Age is 6+. Sorry, classic game. What's your favorite color? Red, yellow, green, or blue?
I always want to be red.
By the way,
How about you?
By the way, I'm imitating David from QVC.
David, look him up. David from QVC. I can't think of his last name right now. But God, I love him.
He's awesome.
You have his exact voice. Be David and explain why you like this game right now. Do it. Come on. It makes me happy.
I don't know if I can.
Oh, man. All right. Whatever.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Let's see. Name. Okay, I have three questions for you.
Whoa, you're going to be way better at this.
What's your favorite exercise?
Walking.
Name your favorite Pop-Tart.
Cinnamon sugar, I think it's called. Cinnamon and sugar.
What is the greatest song written of all time? And don't say the Shannon Doherty song from Front Fender.
Can anybody hear me? Everybody look up Shannon Doherty and the movie Friends Till the End and her hit single, Can Anybody Hear Me? I was thinking I Only Have Eyes for You, Flamingos.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
My guess would be probably for you would be the Nell Carter.
Oh, well, it's not her song. It's what is it? His
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, Michael McDonald. I've talked about this song a lot on here.
You should put a link to the
bottom. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Yeah. I'll make a note right now if I have a pen. Yeah. Yeah, everybody should listen to the Nell Carter cover of a Michael McDonald song called, I don't know, It Was So Right, It Was So Wrong, Almost at the Same Time.
Frankie loves to sing.
Nell Carter. All right, I'll put a link. Is there anything you want to go at? By the way, great questions.
Yeah.
I would love to hear you. You would say you like me, right?
I would say I more than like you, yes.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about me, if you were to say one thing?
You're very, very kind.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, that's not an understatement. You are the nicest person I've ever met in my life.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I guarantee that's not true, but that's not. If you think that makes me very happy.
It's true.
And do you ever listen to my podcast? Yes or no?
Yes, I do.
You do?
In fact, I've been known, as you know, to be the first listener.
You like to be. Sometimes, you guys, I'll be in my studio finishing this up. I've not even come back into the regular house yet. And he's already listened to it.
Yeah.
So that's very nice of you.
Yeah.
One thing, I cannot listen to it, though. Like, when you're listening and I'm around, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I usually leave. And I've been a little worried because you've been listening to it with Coltrane, your son, who's only, how old? 7?
He's almost 8.
Almost 8. And I cuss a lot.
Well, he loves the program.
Well, kids always love when people cuss a lot. Let's face it.
He doesn't know what those words mean.
Maybe not.
So this is a literary podcast.
Yes.
Do you have any literary questions for me?
I do. I wanted to know, what was the first book you read that really made you excited about? I mean, I know you're not...
First of all, I had severe dyslexia.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
And so reading takes me a long time.
Yeah.
But I love audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love audiobooks.
That's good.
So the first book I ever remember reading when I was a kid.
And it doesn't have to be fiction by any means.
Yeah, well, it was A Snowy Day.
Yes.
By Ezra Jack Keats.
Yep.
Which I love. Love that book. I love all his books. But Snowy Day is definitely my favorite one. From there on out, you know, I don't know. I wasn't really, I was more into movies when I was a kid, so I didn't really care for literature. Yeah. Just funny because I write a lot of lyrics.
I know.
I can tell you the worst book I ever read.
What is it? I can't wait.
It was The Pearl.
Oh, yeah. You hate The Pearl by Steinbeck.
I hate The Pearl by Steinbeck. I'm actually shocked that he wrote that book.
That's amazing.
Because he's such a great writer. I'm also probably one of the only people that... Would you say I'm one of the only people that you know who likes Hemingway?
No. Oh, God, no. Okay, Not at all.
Because I've brought up Hemingway before. People just like immediately, oh, my God, what a chauvinist.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, you'll hear that. But I think most people recognize him as a good writer.
The best book I ever read was an autobiography by Barry Miles called Ginsberg, about Allen Ginsberg.
Oh, yeah, you bring that up a lot. That's true.
And it was a huge, that was a big influence on me.
In what way? How was that an influence on you?
Well, first of all, I will say, before I answer that question, I will say I'm known to... Well, I'll tell you a quick story. I have a friend who came over to my house a couple years ago. He noticed I had all these books on authors.
Yeah.
But no books by the authors.
Right.
So I had like 8 books on Allen Ginsberg and no books by Allen Ginsberg. I had a book about Raymond Carver and no books by Raymond Carver. So this is the kind of reader that I am.
Yeah.
Because I find that I'm far more interested in the author than I am in the work that they produce.
Mm-hmm. It might be because, well, I mean, not that other writers don't read fiction or poetry or whatever, but yeah. I think you are writing all the time. You love, and you're very curious about people's daily lives.
I really am.
You always want to know.
The book, but you asked me the book. The book is great because, you know, there was a great quote about, you know, insanity in the book where, you know, it was this moment where Allen Ginsberg realizes that, you know, he's been institutionalized, you know, many times. And he one day realizes that, like, I'm going to accept my insanity.
Mm.
And when you do that, you are then free. Only then you are free.
That's awesome.
So I always set myself... Accept your insanity.
That's good. Yeah. I know you've struggled with that in the past. Yeah. I mean, I even remember when you were telling me about writing a lot of The Horizon Just Laughed, and you were immersing yourself in the TV, show Alice, and what other shows? I can't remember. WKRP. And that you really had a hard time recognizing you were in the year 2000, whatever it was at the time. Like, you thought you were living that time period, and you're like, I know I sound crazy. I was like, that doesn't sound crazy to me at all. Yeah. Like, right now, I almost believe I live in the Potomac with these housewives. That's all I think about.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's insane. I think that's just somehow it just helps us function in certain ways as creative people who are making things.
I think most insane people don't know they're insane, that's the beautiful part.
That's true.
Because you're told you're insane and then they try to put you away.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really sad to me.
That is sad.
So,
well, it's getting on to be about an hour. I know. It's awesome though. Thank you. This will definitely be the longest podcast I've ever put out, but it's a special podcast because I only interviewed my dad,
your brother,
and my brother.
Yeah.
So it's all the guys in my life. Aww. But my mom will not let me interview her. I would love to interview her.
Your mom would be a great interview.
She would, but she is way too shy. Mm. You are an exceptional interview. I feel like I didn't really come to the table with a lot because I didn't plan on a lot. I didn't plan this out.
That's good, though.
I just wanted to talk to you.
That's good.
I mean, we always talk together.
Do you feel that... the death of Kenny Rogers was not made big enough news.
Yeah, because it happened during this coronavirus stuff, right? That's really sad. Yeah, because you and I have barely talked about it, and we love Kenny Rogers.
I love see the movie The Six Pack.
Who taught you about that movie?
You did.
Yes.
Kenny Rogers is also in a movie called The Gambler.
Yeah, that's what everybody knows. But The Six Pack, I dare say, is even better. The Six Pack has a very young Diane Lane. Also Anthony Michael Hall, who I love as a young actor anyway. Mm-hmm. And The Six Pack is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Remember, for the longest time, I thought one of the actors was, what's his name? What's that wrestler's name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you thought for sure it was him.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't know
his name. Anyways.
Oh, and it has that, remember how I love that Rocky Top song?
Oh, yeah.
Corn don't grow it all on a Rocky Top. I can't sing it, but.
You can sing it.
Well, I love singing it.
Yeah.
So you're going to play Sorry tonight. Do you think you'll be writing music tonight? You tell everybody where you like to write music in our house.
The bedroom.
You like to have the bed made. You put the lamps on and maybe some incense or the essential oil diffuser and you close the door and you just
kind of go to town.
Go to town. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. You don't want a studio. You don't have a home studio.
No, I don't. I'm one of the only musicians I know who does this for a profession who has no studio of any kind.
And all you have is one guitar.
Yep, one guitar.
And you won't even put it, you know how people hang their guitars on little prong things?
Or on the wall.
You're very upset about that. Stands. You don't do that. You don't have a guitar stand. You don't have a prong thing.
No.
Why don't you want that?
I'm really abusive with my guitar. I don't know what it is.
It's just always hanging out everywhere.
Yeah, it's just like it's on the floor. It's on the bed. It's.
You just don't care.
In Frankie's cat box.
No, but Frankie's definitely into your, I'm surprised she hasn't crawled inside of it somehow.
She likes to, no, it's been really good. I will say that this time's been a very good time for me because I've been able to write music.
What's the worst song you've ever written?
The worst song I ever wrote? Jeez, I don't know, babe. This is a long, that's a long, it's no, a long. No. I've written some real horrible ones, but I have to really think about that one to give you an answer though.
I'll try the same to think of the worst drawing I ever made. I mean, I've made so many bad drawings and I do it still. Mm. I made one recently that I hate that's out there. Oh my God, it's horrible. Mm. It's the ugliest thing.
Yeah.
I make them all the time, so I get it.
Okay, and then we're going to close this out by saying, and then two things, I have last two questions for you.
Okay.
If you could have dinner with anybody living or dead from a sitcom, who would it be?
Okay, definitely Nell from Give Me a Break. Oh, do I say two people?
Yeah.
Nell from Give Me a Break and Dudley from Different Strokes.
Okay, I'm gonna say Gilmer Pyle.
Okay.
And then I will also say Barney Fife.
Oh, that'd be, so you are going to have a fun time.
Yeah.
You're going to have a really fun time.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do with these two. It's going to be serious. Do you have another question you said?
And the last question is this.
Okay.
For those of you who can't hear, Frankie's in her cat box right now. She likes to just build sandcastles in there.
It's insane.
At the weirdest times.
Yeah.
Last question for you, since this is a literary podcast.
And I have one final question for you after this.
Okay. Literary podcast. Name a poem that touches you emotionally in an intense way every time you read it.
I have two, and I talk about them all the time on here. It's W.S. Merwin's Thanks. And it's also The Man on the Dump, which was the Wallace Stevens, the first podcast I ever did, was because of how emotional that poem makes me. Yeah. I love reading it. I love reading it out loud. It does. And the reason The Man on the Dump is so powerful to me is that because I don't know why it is. Yeah. I have with Thanks by W.S. Merwin and many other poems I love, I can explain why a little bit. And it's kind of obvious. Like, of course, because you're giving thanks to even your diseases and your troubles or whatever. That makes sense why that would be emotional, but The Man on the Dump makes almost no sense.
Yeah.
But it does somehow. It does in this way that you can't put into words.
Yeah.
And that's why. And it does something to my insides. My heart beats harder and faster and I feel crazy when I read it, and that's exciting.
Ding, 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 ding. Bonus question. Name your last question, I swear. Name the greatest hip-hop album of all time.
Are you just getting me to say it again?
What is it?
I like to say that it's Digital Underground Sex Packets. And I mean that. What do you think it is? Now, you probably have I know you have a list of like three.
I have a long list.
Most people don't know that your favorite music tends to be rap and hip hop.
Yeah, so, and hardcore music. I love hardcore music. So, my favorite hip hop album of all time is going to be Paid in Full by Eric B. and Rakim.
Yes.
But.
That's a great answer.
A close tie to that is going to be probably, I'm going to say America's Most Wanted by Ice Cube.
I know you love Ice Cube. I thought you were going to say Houdini. Isn't Houdini on your
Houdini's
list?
Houdini's up there for sure. Houdini's way up there for sure.
Okay.
Okay. So what's your last question?
My last question for you is, a lot of people at home right now, they're also running their own home diners and they're cooking a lot. I consider you, and I'm going to say it again, I don't know if I've ever said it on the podcast, Damian Jurado is the best cook I've ever experienced, including professional chefs. And I cannot get enough of your food.
Thank you.
So if you could do everybody a favor and explain a recipe that you make a lot. I was thinking maybe the fried rice or the rice recipe you do or something like that. If you could kind of explain how to do it so that they could try it at home, do a Damian Jurado recipe. Is there, or if there's something else other than that. I mean, whatever you want. But I want you to explain to the listeners something good they can make for themselves at home.
For me, I'll sum it up this way.
Okay.
It all happens in the bowl.
Yeah, we have these metal bowls.
Mixing bowls.
Any bowl.
So my favorite thing to do, I'll give an example of this. So if I'm doing any kind of vegetable, like let's say onions and tomatoes.
Yeah.
I slice the tomatoes long way, like a Roma tomato.
Mm-hmm.
A bigger
chunk than most people
might
do. Yeah.
I like big vegetables. So my onions are cooked. My onions are sliced long. Mm-hmm. I don't dice them ever. I'm not the biggest fan of diced onion. I like long onions.
Mm-hmm.
So put those in a metal bowl and I put olive oil and I put balsamic vinegar,
mm-hmm.
and I add turmeric, pepper, fresh garlic, if I have it, or jarlic.
I made up the term jarlic for that jarred garlic.
And then, did I say turmeric already?
Turmeric.
And then, let's see. Oh, the poultry.
Poultry seasoning.
Poultry seasoning.
What about red pepper flakes?
Definitely a lot of red pepper flakes. And I mix that all together in the bowl. And then when you're high, if you're using a gas stove,
which you would prefer,
which I definitely prefer, you're gonna set that sucker on medium heat, and then for let it heat that hit the pan up, and then you dump your ingredients into the pan
when it's already hot.
But you got to mix all that stuff. It's all about mixing
it before it's in the pan.
All the spices and oils and vinegars and you name it all goes in the bowl.
A lot of times you put I want to interrupt and say, don't forget you sometimes put that A1 sauce.
Sometimes I do put A1, but it depends on what I'm making.
Okay.
Where the final was. So anyways, and so yeah, you just, and then you put that in the pan, and then you could add, rice to that,
mm-hmm.
or
pasta maybe?
Pasta that, pasta.
But you mainly put rice in there.
Yeah.
You put rice in with it and then mix it up in the bowl again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so anything I'm putting in, I'm always using the same bowl,
mm-hmm.
because no matter what your contents are in the bowl, like you have a lot of leftover like spices that are in there.
Oh yeah.
So you're going to take some, let's say microwaved rice,
mm-hmm.
right? And you put that in your bowl and you mix that around and then you dump that into your hot pan as well. And you're basically going to cook, but then when everything's in the pan, you turn it down to like medium low
yeah.
heat. Because you want to cook that slow and low.
Oh.
That is the tempo.
And this, so you're more sharing a method.
And you're always moving. You use
a spatula to move it around.
You're always moving it around. You're always moving it on a low heat.
Yep.
And the thing about that is like I always say, let your onions burn. Don't be afraid to char your mushrooms or your onions.
Yes.
And the slower and the longer it's in that pan, the more those spices are going to come out.
I love it. And you don't add any more spices while it's in the pan. You've already done plenty
in the
bowl.
You never add anything.
Okay.
If you're going to add anything, it needs to be in that bowl first.
Wow.
Right.
Do you think it does something bad to it if you add it in the pan with
it? It's like, I don't know. It's like,
he's making a disgusted face. Like, you just don't do it, right?
You just don't do that. If you need a little bit more olive oil or balsamic, I've done that. You can do that.
Okay, but not the dry ingredients.
No, none of the spices.
Okay.
Go. You got to do everything in that first. And let's say this is also too. If you have you freezing onions,
mm-hmm.
go ahead and use some onion powder on top of that. You know, top of that.
Me.
That's right. You did.
I love onion powder.
If I'm using garlic, Real garlic?
Garlic powder.
Go ahead and add garlic powder on top of that.
Yeah, garlic powder mixed with real garlic is one of the best. Yeah. Not jarlic, real garlic. Yeah. But jarlic too.
Yeah, jarlic.
So you're more sharing with the listeners a method where you can use your because you can do any vegetables this way. You said tomato and onion, but hello.
You can do anything cabbage, this way. Anything.
Broccoli.
Anything.
Carrots.
What did I just say? I said anything.
So you can do anything this exact way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great method.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for being here tonight. It's very fun. I can't wait to play Sorry with you in a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Do you think you'll ever want to come back?
Definitely.
All right. Well, you got a lot of fans out there who are going to be happy to hear from you just from the kitchen table. Drinking. What are you drinking right now? Tell everybody.
I'm drinking a caffeine-free Coca-Cola.
That is so fun, right?
Now, we should probably just end this here, right?
Okay. Let's end
it. Boom, boom. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. That's it. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Have a good night. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that. I know there was more food talk than most people might prefer on a literature podcast, but what can I tell you? Let me get something to read to you guys, and then we'll close this out. Since if I'm remembering correctly, I brought up Thanks by W.S. Merwin, I'm going to go ahead and read that for the millionth time on the podcast in case there's any newcomers. Of course, W.S. Merwin, beautiful, amazing poet and man, and he died last year, 2019, born in 1927. And I'm going to read for you a poem I really love called Thanks. Sorry, I had to find. Okay, here we go. Listen. With the night falling, we are saying thank you. We are stopping on the bridges to bow from the railings. We are running out of the glass rooms. With our mouths full of food to look at the sky and say thank you. We are standing by the water, thanking it. Standing by the windows, looking out in our directions. Back from a series of hospitals, back from a mugging after funerals, we are saying thank you. After the news of the dead, whether or not we knew them, we are saying thank you. Over telephones, we are saying thank you. In doorways and in the backs of cars and in elevators, remembering wars and the police at the door and the beatings on stairs, we are saying thank you. In the banks, we are saying thank you. In the faces of the officials and the rich and of all who will never change, we go on saying thank you. Thank you. With the animals dying around us, our lost feelings, we are saying thank you. With the forests falling faster than the minutes of our lives, we are saying thank you. With the words going out like cells of a brain, with the cities growing over us, we are saying thank you faster and faster. With nobody listening, we are saying thank you. We are saying thank you and waving, dark though it is. Oh, wow, I needed that more than I thought. That's a great poem to think about right now. It's hard to be in gratitude in a lot of ways right now, but it's okay. You know who's in gratitude, by the way? The birds outside, nature. Have you noticed? Nature is out of control. If you are taking the occasional walk, if you have the space to do that and all of that, I do, and I'm very, very happy about it. But birds are out of control. They're like, we're running this bitch, everybody. I mean, they are just happy as can be. Even insects seem happy. The trees seem happy. Like, the lack of humans outside is really sad in a lot of ways, but for our nature friends, it's pretty awesome. Okay, hold on. Let's just say goodbye. I don't want to keep you any longer than I already have. Thank you so much. I'm saying thank you to the haters who are giving me bad reviews out of nowhere. It's really cool to think that we're all going through this and just thinking, let's give some shitty reviews to people right now. Like, that's what you're going to do with your time? Whatever. All I'm doing is praising all sorts of businesses that I love. Getting on Yelp. Even my divorce attorney, getting on there, reviewing her right now, all sorts of things. So anyway, I would say give praise. Don't give criticism. But who am I? I don't know. Whatever. I'm about to go make a Blue Apron meal. I love you guys. Good night.